thank you for today. Lord, we are open to your direction when you mess up our plans, because we know that your plans are better than our plans. And we give you all the honor and the glory to you, Lord. And we just come to your word, Lord, and we ask you that you make it real to our hearts and to, Lord, minister to our needs. Show us how to put it to work for us, that we may be able, Lord, to appropriate everything you have done for us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, praise God. So that scripture I was reading last week was Titus 1:15. I want to read it again and maybe do a bit more. We're talking about the conscience. This is an important aspect of our spirit. And we have to understand the way it works so that we benefit from why God put it there. So here says Titus 1:15 says, to the pure, all things are pure. But to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. But even their mind and conscience are defiled. They profess to know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. That's a really big sentence. Well, it's not condemnation, really. It's really revealing to us the truth. Because, you know, we can fool ourselves, and that's the problem. When our conscience is defiled, we don't even know anymore, and we are disqualified. So probably the most important thing for us to do is to understand how to keep our conscience pure. Because otherwise, we end up fooling ourselves. Okay? Now, here says some things is interesting. You know, when the conscience is pure, means that it is undefiled, it is clean. And that when our conscience is pure, then all things are pure. I mean, we are not there trying to pick up all the dirt everywhere we go. We are not focused on dirt and things. We are focused on things that are clean. We don't spend time looking for even for the other things because they are not interesting to us. We don't care about them. We don't want to have anything to do with them. But those that are defiled, that means, you know, that they're not, you know, that they're mixed up with the wrong things. And unbelieving, you know, unbelieving, the word in Greek there is apistos, which means, you know, without faith or unfaithful. See, people think that if they do whatever they want to do, God is going to be faithful. And they're fooling themselves. If you are not faithful yourself, you are not going to be able to believe that God is faithful. Because you cannot be trusted. And so you're not going to trust anybody else. That's the same principle. When you are not pure, what is going to happen is that everything that you see and perceive is messed up. This is not the only scripture that says that. The Old Testament says the same thing, but here is New Testament, so you can say, well, this is Old Testament theology. Okay? When this happens, even nothing is pure, even our mind, that means the mind there is nous, which actually means the intellect, the thinking, the reasoning, even our reasoning is wrong. See, that means that, you know, we go around circle and you try to justify ourselves and we try to do things such a way that we are okay. Lots of people that are, even criminals say that they are okay. That the problem is not them, it's the people around them. That's the one that they're bad. Why? Because they convince themselves, their conscience, you know, they go around killing people and the other one is the problem, not them. How can we get deceived? And unfortunately, even Christians do that. Because their conscience has been defiled. And this is, you know, saying, well, this sounds condemnation. No, you know, you have to deal with the truth. You know, those who walk according to the Spirit, they are not, there is no condemnation for them. But if you don't walk according to the Spirit, there should be condemnation. Because the Holy Spirit is going to bring to your attention the things that are wrong. And so you're trying to shut them up. Just like, keep quiet, please. Well, that's not the way to get anywhere. See, our effort that we had to do, and Paul was one of the kept saying that all the time. I make all the effort to keep my conscience pure. So now, let's continue. See, the thing is, when our conscience are defined and when our thinking, they end up professing to know the word there, ideal, that means discern, to see God, but the works that they do, deny it, that means contradict what they're saying. And because they are disobedient, they do whatever they want to do, they are disqualified to do good works. Now, this is important to understand, because one of the functions of the Holy Spirit, okay, is to reveal to us when our conscience is fooling us. Okay? In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 3, it says, For I indeed, as absent from the body but present in the spirit, I have already judged, as though I were present, him who has done such a deed. So you see, our conscience is going to judge certain things and say, you know, this is right and this is wrong. And that has to be dealt with. You cannot say, please don't tell me. You have to resolve the issues inside. This is the way our conscience becomes seared. So in Romans chapter 1, verse 21, talks about how the process takes place. It really is a temptation. It's temptation in which we come in and we allow the temptation to be carried through. He says, because this is talking about other things, but it's the same for everything. Spiritually, every spiritual issue is the same. Because although they knew God, verse 21, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful. You see, that was a decision that they made. They knew God, but they chose not to give glory to God. Okay? But became futile in their thought. That means, you know, reasoning out, justifying themselves, just self-justification, that's where the problem comes from. And their foolish heart were darkened. See, they were foolish. They did not understand what was going on, but they went along justifying themselves, and so that their heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into the image made like corruptible men and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them to uncleanness in lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who has changed the truth of God for the lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for their women has changed their natural use for what is against nature. I mean, this is pretty clear. See, this is why you can go there and convince some of these people that believe in the modern beliefs to convince them that they are sinning and they should be changed their mind and should repent. And God is going to set them free from this bondage. You see, but it started with the temptation in which they gave in. James chapter 1 verse 13 following talks about the temptation. It starts with the desire. We have to understand the role that desire have in our spiritual walk. When the desire gets distorted, then problems come up. This is one of the example in one direction, but there is no difference when it's spiritual desire. And we start wanting to operate in things that God doesn't want us to operate. And we end up justifying what we are doing, and so opening up to other spirits. And then, after a while, we don't know anymore. See, this is why our conscience is something that we should really look after. At the beginning, when you are tempted, you know pretty well what is right and what is wrong. But if you fool around with that reasoning, with your own reasoning, then after a while, you don't know anymore. You get confused. And after you got confused, what happened is you go to the other extreme and you really believe the lie instead of the truth. And so after you are convinced that you are right, when instead you are dead wrong. I mean dead wrong, because that produces death spiritually. Okay, so we have to understand that probably our conscience is one of the most important things that we should preserve against the temptation. And when we come, temptation come, we have to deal with it in the right way, because this is the way we are going to be kept free. People think that because God is graceful, they can do whatever they want to do. And God loves them anyway. And it's true. Jesus died for them. But that doesn't mean that they're going to be able to receive the blessings, because the blessings come from connecting with Him and responding to what He has done for us. So the most important thing that for us to do is to walk with a clean and pure conscience. Now, some people have a religious conscience. So they are bound up by lots of rules and things. You know, it's almost better to have a religious conscience than to have a seer conscience. Because a religious conscience, when you find out the truth, you get free of that junk. But when your conscience is seared, it's very difficult to wake you up and to make you sensitive to the truth, because you are resisting it, because you are convinced that you are right, when instead you are dead wrong. Are you following me? I mean, that's so important. You know, homosexuality in that part there is very clear, you know, to... You can look at the world and the way they think and think that they think that, you know, it's acceptable to God. Period. God's position is very clear. But it's not just there. You know, in many other dimensions, this is just one of the things. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 says, "Now the Spirit expressly said in the latter time, some will depart from the faith." That means these are believers. They're not heathens, giving heed to deceiving spirit and doctrines of demons. You see, I mean, why? Because they must have wanted these things, because otherwise they wouldn't have got open. You see, that's where temptation comes. Temptation comes from our desire. It's very clear in James chapter 1, verse 13. Okay? Speaking lies in hypocrisy and having their own conscience seared with the hot iron. And then goes on saying some of the things. But the thing is, you see, that when their conscience is seared, we got trouble. And this is how the conscience is defiled in the first place. So we have to protect ourselves from having our conscience defiled and make sure that our conscience is pure. How do you get your conscience pure? There's only one way, the blood of Jesus. There is a difference between Old Testament and the New Testament. The Old Testament and ceremonials, you go and read in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 9 and following, from which they could go before God, but their conscience was not pure after. Didn't have any effect on their conscience, because that wasn't the thing. Jesus' blood set their conscience pure. But what does it mean? I'm with Jesus' blood, just saying the words? Absolutely not. Just saying the words doesn't do it. It's much more than saying the words. What has to happen is we actually submit ourselves to what He has done and allow what He has done to cleanse us, so that we are willing to respond to what He has done and to give our sins to Him. When our sins are really forgiven, because we acknowledge them and we have dealt with them, what happens is one of the results that we don't want to do that stuff anymore. But if we are there trying to finagle ourselves, to justify ourselves, we are there in the danger zone. We are there in a place where what we can see is that We justify ourselves after a while. We don't know anymore what's right and what's wrong, and our conscience becomes seared, and you got layers of sear, of callousness on it. After a while, you have no idea what's going on anymore, and you think you're right. So it's better to have an overactive conscience than to have a seared conscience. Because if your conscience is overactive and exaggerated, and you can always fix it. When you find the truth sets you free, and you don't need to do that, and you're not there trying to justify yourself anymore with God. You are ready to do anything for Him. You are ready to obey Him, even if it costs, even if it's not really easy, and it's not, but you are ready to do it. And as a result of that, when God shows it to you, you're going to scratch your head and say, oh, is this really so? Oh, that's not really important. And you give it up to try to do those things that are really not necessary. But it's not that you are trying to justify. You are almost in the side of trying to do more than try to do less. You are trying to justify doing more than do less than what you do more. You know, then you realize, well, this is really stupid. Doesn't matter. This is really not making any difference. Are you following me? The word conscience repeated so many times, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament. It's something that people preach too much about, especially now they're talking about grace. And you know, I believe grace, hallelujah. But it's not what they talk about. It's not that grace is you can do whatever you want to do. Actually, you don't need to ask grace to God, because He's graceful anyway. That's what His nature is. We don't need to ask too much to God. We have everything. He has done everything. What we have to do is to appropriate what He has done. When we realize what He has done, what do you have to ask? You have just to thank. Thank you, Lord, for what you have done. I mean, He set us free. He healed us. He delivered from the oppression of the enemy. He delivered us from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. He made us sons of God. He made us able to connect with God without condemnation. He made us walk in the Spirit. He made us temple of the Holy Spirit, so that He comes with us all the time. We don't need to ask Him to come with us. He's there. Wherever we go, the Holy Spirit is, if you are connected. That's the way we had to learn to walk. Praise the Lord. Are you following me? You know, just let me see if I find a scripture I can close with. Let me read this. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 13. For it says, for if the blood of bulls and goats and ashes and heifers sprinkling the unclean sanctify and purify the flesh, that's the only thing they could do. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit of them Himself, without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? What does it mean? When we are in Christ, we trust Him. We relate to Him. We follow Him. We love Him. If we don't have those other things and we say we are in Christ, we are fooling ourselves. Okay? And then automatically, you see what happens when we are in Christ, our conscience is clean. Because the only thing our hearts want, our conscience is not our heart. But our conscience communicates to our heart that we are okay. But when our conscience is seared, it doesn't get through. Praise the Lord. All right, well, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 13. Thank you. You can ask. Anybody can ask. Thank you. So, Paul was a murderer. Went around killing Christians. In many scriptures says, my conscience is pure. Praise the Lord. You see, it doesn't matter where you come from. Doesn't matter what you have done. What counts is now. And you can get your conscience pure because you are connected with Him. We are trusting in Him. You are in Christ and Christ is in you. And if you are in Him and He is in you, then the Father is in you and you are in the Father like He was. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The Lord is good. Amen. Okay, well, I'm going to close for today. And let's pray together. Praise you, Lord. Father, thank you for what Jesus has done for us. His blood was shed to cleanse us. Not just our actions, but even our conscience, so that we may be pure and we may see the things that are pure around us. That we may walk worthy of the call that we have and not be disqualified from good works. We are called to do good works. They come from our spirit, from your Holy Spirit, directing us, empowering us, releasing us from the forces of darkness, and enabling us to break through them, the forces of darkness, because we are conquerors with Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, we pray. We believe and stand on the word of God. And we have victory even now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord.